This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware, listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer Podcast Manga Edition. I am your host, VLordGTZ, and today I have two very special people with me. First up, we have Marion.
What's up?
And we also have Sakaki.
Yo, I'm back.
How you guys doing today?
Well, we're good. Ready to talk some Demon Slayer. This chapter is crazy.
Yeah, I just flew in from New York and boy, my arm's tired. But I'm ready to go. Ready to do some Demon Slayer. But speaking of New York, I think we heard something there that's very important.
Yeah, so this past weekend we were all at Anime NYC. It was a really dope time and it was like super awesome. Tons of amazing guests. But we also got some Demon Slayer manga news out of it. So at the Shonen Jump panel, Viz announced that they're doing a Demon Slayer speed up. So starting in December, they're going to start adding like a volume worth of material to the vault every month until they fill the gap. And they're also gonna do a speed up for the physical volume starting in May. So as we mentioned before, the backlog for Demon Slayer is very painful and it's like 60 chapters long, so we'll finally be getting through that faster. And by the rate that they're going, they'll fill the digital vault by June, and the physical will probably be filled by, I think, like September. So that's a pretty good pace compared to the 2021 completion date that we were going to get before.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, and as I was saying before we went on mic, that's, I guess, was inevitable because, like, you know, freaking Demon Slayer's hot stuff now. You know?
Yeah. That it's like.
Go ahead, Martin.
It broke like 11 million copies in Japan, like, physically, like, sold. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone is, like, talking about it. And they did say at the panel, like, yes, we heard you. So we're definitely gonna do this. Like we're gonna speed up Demon Slayer because everyone loves it, and like that just goes to show. Like talk to the publishers when you want something. You gotta speak up and get other people to like join you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing usually is like to be open about it and be like, hey, we want this gap filled like as soon as possible, and if there's the demand there, they will supply it. And we're seeing kind of the same thing with them starting to fill the gap, too, with, like, Jujutsu Kaisen. Because, like, the first two volumes of that are now in the vault. And I'm hoping a lot that we'll start getting the gap filled for Act Age 2. Because I need my Act Age chapters.
Same here.
Yeah, I really would love to start that thing. Now I'm kind of, like, wondering if I should just... I was going to buy the Japanese volumes once my new job started, but now I'm just wondering, should I just hold off and hope they'll announce something?
I think at this rate, you're better off waiting, because I get the feeling, like, I have my personal, like, suspicion that we'll probably get some kind of anime-related news for Act Dodge at this year's Jump Festa, but... Yeah. That's just my hunch. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll probably wait and see what we're dealing with. Though it's a series I've wanted to read a while because I've heard so many great things about it. But it's like I read the first chapters that are available in the vault, but I haven't been able to read anything else since then, other than one kind of random chapter in it. And again, I'm looking forward to reading more. Like to do so without, you know, having to pick up to, because I'm a completionist, so if I start picking up the Japanese volumes, I'm pretty much locked into that. Even with Jujutsu now, it's like, well, I mean, yeah, it's great they're catching up, but I already started buying a Japanese, so it will bug me way too much to see, like, volumes 1 through 5 and then no more in there, so. But we'll see.
Yes, we shall. But, we should get into this week's chapter of Demon Slayer, chapter 183, titled A Clash of Wills. So on the cover of this chapter, we kind of see Inosuke, Kanao, Zenitsu, and Murata all kind of wandering around the fortress as it's getting chaotic and moving all over the place. And on the next page here, like, we kind of see the whole sound effects, the ben. And Mitsuri is, like, freaking out, like, oh my god, the force is, like, crushing me. But, like, she has the attack moves on right now because, like, because he's focusing on fighting Yushiro over control of Nakime. And Mitsuri's just continuing to freak out here, and she's like, oh my god, Muzan's so, like, scary, I'm even talking weird. And, like, she's wishing that, Himejima was there, and, stuff like that, and, like, she's also mentioning, like, Yushiro, and, like, how, like, Yushiro was the person who basically, like, picked her up, but, like, a few chapters ago, in the middle of the Nakime fight, and basically Yushiro's plan with that was to kind of fool Nakime into thinking they were dead. And by doing so, like, he was gonna hijack, like, Nakime's, like, sense of sight, infiltrate her, like, her brain, and then, like, hijack her mind so that, like, she'd basically hallucinate, like, Mitsuri and Obanai being dead. And I love this one page here, where Mitsuri's like, wow, he can do that? Neat, how convenient, that's cool!
And the page right before, too, where Yushiro's saying, unless you're a moron, you'll understand what I say and cooperate, and she's like, I'm not a moron. Okay.
Her facial expressions are just, like, so great here.
I mean, everything about her was great, I mean, I hate to make this analogy, but, like, this is probably what Luffy would be like in this situation.
Oh my god.
Like, outside of, you know, being scared of Muzan, Luffy would charge up in there. But other than that, like, her just being like, I'm not dumb. Okay, yeah, I'm down with you. What are you? And she's like, that's cool. And she's like... I kind of loved, like, levity she brings to this whole situation. Like, yeah. This could be very, very, not scary, but very kind of like, I don't know. It's like, it's a way that Gotouge's got with pacing this, that it, like, her whole thing, this whole thing could be irritating to some. And I can see some being like, okay, come on, I want to get back to Muzan. But I think it's done in a way, with the composition of the page, that Mitsuri's, like, side things are is entertaining as they're both paced well and entertaining.
Yeah, it's like it like lands. It's not tone deaf.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the Mitsuri reactions here just kind of continue for the rest of the page. Like, she's continuing to freak out over, like, the castle moving all over the place, and, like, Yushiro and Muzan being, like, in a clash of wills. And, she's, like, basically saying, like, we need to attack and disrupt Muzan to help Yushiro in any way we can. But, like, she's like, but I might die first. And at the bottom of page 6, we also see that Tanjiro is also kind of dealing with the fortress moving all over the place. And he's trying to avoid getting shot into the different, like, subsections of the fortress. And he's thinking to himself, like, you gotta stay close to Muzan and not get separated from the others. And Muzan's just thinking to himself during this entire time, like, he doesn't know who it is that's doing this, but someone that's near Nakime. And, like, he's reached the assumption that it's Tamayo's demon, and that, like, he's got guts, and I'm going to kill him.
What I love about this whole thing, though, is, like, they're actually having a hacker fight.
Like,
they're like Yushiro's hacking into the system, and Muzan's trying to put up with, like, it's like we're reading Mr. Robot, and I'm really down with that.
Master hacker Yushiro.
I never made that, like, association until now, but, like, he's literally, like, that Mega 64 GIF of, like, Rocko, like, with the, he turns on the glasses and he starts like typing into shit, and you just see the text on the fucking screen.
I mean, I only thought about it because, again, you know, I haven't seen the episode yet, but everybody was talking about how perfect this week's Mr. Robot episode was. So I'm like, okay, I got to get on that. And then I was reading Demon Slayer. I'm just like, wow, he's just pulling up some Elliot Alderson shit here.
We've breached the Kibutsuji firewall. We're now going to get the Muzan metadata.
Oh exactly. God. That's what this is. And I dig it. Like, it's of course I'm being completely facetious here, but it's just the way that it's presented is like, it's a battle of wills, but because they're in two different rooms and not actually talking to each other, it does feel like, you know, it does feel like they're hacking into a computer or, well, hacking into the gate.
You see, like, what looks like veins and stuff, like, stemming out from, like, the demons, like, the blood vessels or whatever, that's literally just, like, the metaphorical, like, fucking stream of, like, code of, like, the Matrix, like, coming out. Oh, yeah, man.
That just sort of adds to the hacking. Like, they're just sitting here, like, some hackers just sitting here over a keyboard, like, throbs, the veins throbbing, and just typing really fast, teeth clenched. It just feeds into that image.
So on like these bottom two panels, we kind of see Yoshino behind Nakime, and he's like put like one of his like manipulation talismans on Nakime to like.
I think you mean his USB.
Yes, his high tech USB. It has 500 gigs. He wanted to get the terabyte, but he was like, "Nah, Nakime doesn't have that much data. I'll upgrade for Muzan." Oh my God.
What have I created?
But yeah, he's just going a master hacker on Nakime's head here.
Yeah, and well, moving to the next page, you know, Muzan has turned on, you know, he's turned on his anti-hacker, you know, he's turned on his anti-hacking measures, and you know, it's so powerful that it's actually sucking Yushiro into the computer. So it's just like, he's like, crap, I almost had control, but now it's being wrestled away and he's absorbing me. And they're just both going into it. And Muzan's like, stop interfering. I'm not allowing you to torrent anime anymore. Watch Demon Slayer on Toonami, on Crunchyroll, on Hulu. You have options. Quit pirating.
Oh my goodness.
So and then like the other people are like, if it'll help you beat Muzan, don't worry dude, I'll help you share the file if it'll help you beat Muzan. And then like, I'll upload a file too, man. Yeah, we'll help seed. And then they're like, Yushiro's like, shut up, I got this. And meanwhile, Obanai and I think Giyu, yeah, Obanai and Giyu are both, they both jump in and they're, you know, they're all like, well, you know, fuck hacking, you know, we're right here with swords, so we're about to take care of this, hold on. They're attacking. Yeah, exactly, they're slashing the gate, forget hacking the gate. Well, they're actually hacking the gate. I mean, when you think about it, they're hacking slashing the gate here. Right, but either way, like, Muzan's got to deal with, you know, he's got the forum master privileges, but he's also got to deal with iOS attack and all of this going on at the same time. It's just, Muzan's kind of wondering, man, why did I take over privileges like this right now?
I love this panel at the top of page 10 where, like, it's Muzan's kind of arms like flailing around everywhere, and also like the imagery of like the water breathing and the serpent breathing, like it's all kind of flowing together in like these little like stream flows. It just looks really nice on the page.
It does. And I kind of dig that how, and I've always digged that how Gotsuke uses SFX to enhance like the intensity of a scene, and there's, this scene is no different. You know, the wham bam, just as they hit Muzan, and Muzan's just like, ah, God, these pests. how Yushiro's, the hacking is continuing. Yushiro's getting control again. But then Nakime hits, you know, strums the Biwa again, and a hole opens up. And, oh, okay, and Muzan's just like, you know what, forget it. If you guys are going to pirate, then I'm just going to freaking delete the file.
I'm going to blow it up.
That's it. I mean, there's not going to be a torrent because I'm deleting the file. You guys need to go buy the Blu-rays, watch on Toonami. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So that's it. And then Yushiro's like, oh, crap. I can't give up. I can still get the file. I'm at 99.9%. I can still do this. And that's not looking so likely because, you know, there's still not outside. And Tanjiro, which you gotta give him credit for hanging in here this whole time. He's basically getting up and looking at all of the corpse members who have been, well, corpses now.
He also just looks like a complete wreck on this page. Like,
yeah,
he's been through so much at this point. Like, he's just, like, freaking dying over here.
I mean, and you have to keep in mind, he's not like a pillar. He's just, you know, the pillars are like Super Saiyans. He's the Krillin in this situation. I mean, he's strong, but, like, he's not quite that level yet. And that's something else I kind of thought about when reading this scene. It's like, it's easy to think that Tanjiro is like one of the Shiteno or one of the Espada, or I mean, I'm listening all bad guys. But, like, it's easy to think at this point that, Tanjiro is part of the upper echelon of, you know, the good guys because he's a protagonist. So we're used to expecting the protagonist being powerful. And Tanjiro, I'm not saying he isn't. But at the same time, these are all battle-ready seasoned warriors, and he's still keeping in step with them, which I gotta admit, you know, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, but he lacks, like, the experience that the Hashira have. Like, they're used to these kind of harsh conditions. But Tanjiro's still kind of, like, bab in comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that I guess that's what I was trying to say. I mean, you conveyed it better than I did, V-Lord, which is that, yeah, he's powerful, but he lacks experience. And so the fact that he's keeping up with them is pretty amazing, but yeah, he looks like a mess.
Yeah, it's that lack of experience that is leading to all those, like, injuries he's getting.
Yeah.
He's not able to, like, react in time, even though, like, he's capable of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And even in his current situation, he's still looking around like these guys all die with regrets. And that's Tanjiro. That's 100% Tanjiro. You're not going to find that in another shonen manga.
He's staying on brand.
Exactly. He's just, that's who he is. He's about to die, and he's probably going to die with a few regrets of his own, but he's still looking around like, these guys die with so many regrets.
Yeah, and as he's, like, staring at the sword of, like, one of the fallen members, we move to the next page, and Anroji's here doing gymnastics, just, like, whooshing all over the air, like, jumping and, like, lifting her sword. Meanwhile, like, Muzan is, like, returning the favor, whipping his arms, and it looks like Tanjiro's, like, about to get caught in the crossfire. And, like, on the next page, like, it looks like his shoulder was what got hit. And, a splurt of blood comes out. And you can just see, like, the pain in his face.
Yeah.
And we start hearing a creak, like a creaking sound. And it seems like the castle is breaking up. And Open Eye is thinking to himself, if we don't get outside, everyone but Muzan is going to die. And Mitsuri notices that the building seems to be rising, and she's about to get, like, slashed by one of Muzan's arms when Tanjiro, to the rescue, he like, shouts her name and just yeets the fucking sword that, like, was on the floor. And we see, like, it just it hits Muzan, like, straight in the head. It just impales, like, his head, and he's just like, curse that brat. And immediately, with a giant doom and like a thoom and a crash, the whole mansion just breaks down. And we get, like, on the last page, this just one scene of everything is falling apart and destroyed. And you see, like, the moon and the stars and, like,
the mansion is gone. It looks amazing. I love this page. Like, add some color to it, and I'd stick it up somewhere.
I love the tiny Kanroji on the last page.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, I didn't even see her. There she is.
He's just in free fall mode, like shouting. Oh man!
Like this page. Is crazy. This I love this page.
But yeah, they made it out of the fortress.
So it only took how many chapters? Like 2-3 chapters after Ruzan just like awoke.
Yeah.
Right.
And Akime's dead now.
Let's just talk about how, okay, I mean, I know I missed a show or two in the meantime, but let's talk about how this has not gone to any of our expectations whatsoever and how fucking badass that is. Like, did any of us expect the whole fucking tower to come down in 3 weeks?
No.
Heck no.
Or for Yushiro to activate his inner Mr. Robot? First of all, I mean, we all knew Yushiro was going to do something because Tamayo is just, that's his whole world. So he wasn't going to just let Musan walk away with that W. That wasn't going to happen. But for him to pull it up like this.
That was so cool. The whole like mind hacker battle thing was just like completely like I talked about like the fact that like, oh yeah, he can like manipulate stuff or whatever, but like I didn't realize he's literally like fighting with Muzan's will like imprinted in Nakime. And like that like back and forth was so intense to watch.
Yeah, it was like, and on top of that too, like it's the first time, well, one of the first times we've seen somebody actually be able to stand toe to toe with Muzan. I mean, it wasn't in the, and I like that it wasn't in the traditional sense. Even though we were making a bunch of jokes about hacking, I kind of like that it was in, it wasn't the traditional take a sword up Muzan with his powers and they clash like that.
It was a battle of wills.
Yeah, exactly. It was a battle of wills against a character, first of all, that wasn't the protagonist. I mean, Yushiro, we've seen him, what, 3-4 times in the series? And he pulled a W like this? I gotta say, I really like the way that Gotouge is going about this. And it's keeping things unpredictable. Unpredictable, wow.
Yeah, every time I have a guess of like how Gotouge is gonna handle the rest of the story, like, they turn it on its head or, like, have this kind of twist here. And, like, sure, the story's kind of going faster than I'm expecting, but it just makes me more curious, like, how is this going to end? Like, where is our, like, end game here?
I really don't know.
I don't know. And at this point, I feel like predicting it anymore is just a fool's errand. Or trying to predict it. It's just like, well, I can't. I have no idea. Like, I've never been this wrong and loved it this much.
I'm really interested in the fact that, like, Tanjiro keeps on getting, like, these injuries. And, like, what's going to happen now? Because, like, is he going to be treated in time to, like, recover his eye? He got, like, slashed in the shoulder. But, like, that was also the arm that he used to throw. Like, the sword that he picked up. I don't know if anything's going to come as a result of that. It's interesting because like I'm used to stuff like JoJo's where characters get injured and like they lose like half their body weight in blood, but like the next chapter
it's just a flesh wound, they can walk it off.
Right.
Yeah, it's then, like Zoro. If I drink some beer, I'll be good.
Yeah, no, you lost a tooth. Drink some milk, it'll grow back, right back.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I get what you mean, Marion. It's like. I won't say so much that Demon Slayer is realistic, but usually when somebody's put down for an injury that they should be put down for, they usually are down.
Yeah, like we can see this like with Uzui and like in the Red Light District arc, like he got really messed up in that arc, and like he hasn't come back as a Hashira because he's still that severely injured even after Nezuko healing him.
Yeah, and even like the training arcs or like recovering arcs after like even like just in the anime, like after the Spider Mountain arc, it took them like months to like recover and like get back up to stuff.
Yeah, no, that was something I remember when I was reading that arc originally. A lot of people were a fan of it because not really so much that it was bad, but because we're so used to or kind of conditioned to in Shonen that when the good guys get injured, it's like two chapters later. You know, even if the arc ends, the bad guy's been defeated. It's usually a few chapters that they might be bedridden, and then they're back up again like nothing happened. So, I mean, the closest we've got kind of to this kind of thing is My Hero Academia recently. Well, not recently, but overall as the series where, you know, Horikoshi does portray the characters as, you know, in bed or needing to recover a while.
Yeah.
So Demon Slayer though takes it to a whole nother state level where we did have Tanjiro. It, as Marianne said, we did have them in bed for months. Tanjiro, Zenitsu, Inosuke. So it's interesting to see. I hadn't thought about it that way either, that Tanjiro keeps getting nicked, he keeps getting slashed and injured. And I kind of wonder at this point. Again, I'm hesitant to predict anything because nothing has gone the way I thought it would. But I kind of wonder if, like, if this will be, and if, adding in the fact, like I said, that Tanjiro, while he's a protagonist, doesn't have much experience, I kind of wonder if the W will be given to someone else, and he'll just help facilitate it.
Yeah, I feel like he can't win this fight on his own. Like, we aren't going to have a traditional protagonist versus antagonist type fight, because, like, Tanjiro's way too injured. He can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I agree. It would be too much to expect him to do something at this point. I don't think so. I feel like if there is going to be some, it's not going to be here. If there is going to be a showdown, it's going to happen after he's recovered a bit.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like if it's going to go the Tanjiro versus Muzan route, it's not going to be here, and this fight is going to end kind of like a Naraku situation where, like, he gets very injured, escapes, and then recovers. And then we have another big battle.
Oh, man. And then we're going to get the real upper moves.
The upper moves.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do just wonder at this point, and I love it. Well, where's this going to go? Where are we going to end up? What's next? I mean, I don't know. And it's great. I was thinking that we were going to settle, and now this just blows away this whole idea I had of this. I mean, I still feel like this is pretty much we're getting towards the ending of the series, but now it's been given a whole new lease on life. So
honestly, yeah.
Before I might have said, okay, maybe a few months. I still feel like a few months, but I can see Demon Slayer getting a couple. At first, I would have said 2-3 more volumes, but I can see it maybe getting 5-6, depending on how the next few events come out. Because of course, we've still got Nezuko in the background, so she's still a player in this, even if she's not actually doing anything right now.
I feel like Nezuko is definitely the big X factor here, because I feel Gotouge is not going to just not use Nezuko at all. Especially after the last few arcs where, she's had an active role. So if anything is going to change up the dynamic in this battle, I think it's going to be her.
Yeah, that's what I think so, too. And now that the tower's been destroyed, that I think it's more likely that we might be seeing her more soon, a little more sooner than later.
Right.
Before, it was like, okay, they're in the tower, so how is she going to even get in there? You know what I mean? But now that's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, we could just go on, endless speculation at this point. Because, there's no idea of where the story can go from here. Like, it could really just go any direction.
Yeah, I mean, if you can at this point. Now, Nakime is gone, and again, I'm just in awe of how this whole thing, we thought that Nakime was going to be this big, X factor in this fight, and then Muzan kills her himself, which none of us saw coming. But it fits in what was going on with the story. Yushiro is hacking the terminal, so gotta destroy the terminal. I mean, he can't get it back and fight. Yeah, go ahead.
My bad. I found it weird. Like, we never got a backstory or anything for her.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I guess she only served to be Muzan's elevator.
Yeah, I feel like Nakime never had a personality to begin with, so I guess Gotouge didn't see a point in giving her a backstory, which is, it's kind of weird, because, every other Upper Moon has gotten a backstory.
Yeah, even freaking Doma.
It's just odd to take.
Freaking Doma.
I guess it's just a thing where, not all of, I don't know, Yeah, it's weird that she's just different like that. Because as Wheeler says, she doesn't have much of a personality to begin with, so I guess it's okay. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad decision. We'll really have to wait till see how things shake out, because I almost feel like at this point, you know, something might happen that she might get, like, a second wind at this point. I that's how unpredictable this whole thing is.
Yeah, I mean, until we see the body evaporate, I guess anything could happen.
Yeah, that's just how unpredictable this is. So, I wouldn't even say that she's dead until we see that body. You know, okay. Nobody, no crime. Nobody.
Oh, my God.
So, that's what we're looking at now. So, yeah, it's just this whole chapter, we could speculate, as Vilar said, we could speculate for days, honestly. We could speculate until the next one comes out and then speculate all over again. So, that's just where we're at with Demon Slayer right now. It's just nothing is going to plan, and I guess that even could be a good episode title for this.
I feel like I might go with either that or Master Hacker Yushiro.
Master Hacker Yushiro Alderson. But yeah, it's just I'm at a point where I really wish I could jump forward in the future just 5 weeks. 5 weeks, that's all I need. Just to see where this whole crazy party is going.
Yeah, I need like a chunk of chapters, to be honest.
Because I don't see it ending in the near future. Like it, because otherwise they would probably announce something in Shonen Jump.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not like Neverland, yeah, where it seems like Neverland can literally end like within a month or so.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just like, I don't see, yeah, I don't, especially as big as Demon Slayer is now. Yeah, Jump's not going to just be like, oh yeah, the next chapter's next week, guys. Oh, we forgot to mention that. So I definitely think we'll get a countdown.
Yeah, we should. I feel like in the case, though, that it does like end soonish, sooner than later, this is like perfect. This series is like perfect for like, side material, like getting like novels and stuff like Bleach did, or
yeah,
even just like other like spinoffs. Like there's a couple, like that one gag spinoff that came out like as the anime was airing, where it was like a one page summary of the episode.
Oh, Kimetsu no Aima.
Yeah
by the Bozo Beats creator.
Yeah, oh man, I feel kind of bad, like you had your own original series and it got axed, and now you're doing a spinoff for another author.
It's also weird, too, because he did that Tomioko Gyu spinoff, the two-chapter one, before that. And that one was, like, more, like, with his art style, and now Aima was, like, super, like, gag kind of visuals.
Yeah, like, cutesy, super deformed. Yeah, no, I think Gyu was, like, perfect for this kind of, like, attention. For,
to kind of more give us an open world, more world building and everything. Yeah, I can see it.
Or even do like what Bleach did with like giving like Ryogo Narita or like any other like author who's like interested to like build off the lore in their own way. Like that would be cool.
We'll bring in Narita, Nisio Isin, just everyone, you know, across the
bring
plate.
Bring in Kinoko Nasu to like make his own Kimetsu no Yaiba, like, freaking fanfic. Like,
Kimetsu Grand Order.
We were talking about that at NYC, too, where it was just like, you know, hey, there's this one Shonen Jump manga I really like. I own UFO Table, so you guys can do it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like a Kimetsu gacha game would actually kind of work, too, because, like, you have, like, the pillars are being, like, the techniques are being passed down through the generations, so you could just have gacha characters for all, like, the older Demon Slayers.
Yeah, I would love to see, like even, like, original kind of characters, but, like, making them, like, related to previous characters that we know.
Yeah, I can see, like, I mean, I don't do gacha, but I would consider a Kimetsu's gacha if they did
it. I would play it at least for 1 hour, and then possibly never touch it again.
Yeah, okay. I can also make that promise.
I got too many gacha games on my phone.
I am kind of interested in, you know, will there be games and stuff for if they are, like, what kind?
Kimetsu Hack and Slash.
So Kimetsu. Can you imagine though? Like, the techniques and everything in, like, a Musou game, those breaths.
Oh, damn.
Those would look kind of hot. I mean, yeah, but that does have me wondering, like, what kind of games. I couldn't see it being, like, a traditional fighter. Or, well, I mean, they did it for Bleach.
That would be cool, like a 2D fighter. Like, I would love that, actually. But,
I could see it.
I mean, I feel like even if Demon Slayer ends soon, the franchise itself is not going to die anytime, like in the near future, because it's doing too well. It's usurping the King One Piece this year, so.
I don't see it. Even if the manga ends, like, the anime is probably going to adapt everything, because then they have really no reason not to. Like, they can make the excuse that, okay, well, it's still going, it's being really long, so yeah, we can't adapt everything, sorry. But if it ends, then it's like, oh shit. It's over, so I guess we might as well adapt everything while it's hot. So
yeah, maybe like a Cyber Connect 2 game, like the Naruto Ninja Storm games, like just adapt the story and like give you like characters to play in like a big like a 3D setting or whatever.
That'd be pretty cool. I mean, I guess personally, my like dream game would be an Arc Systems Works Demon Slayer game.
Oh, nice. Like Guilty Gear?
Yeah, like kind of like Guilty Gear, even like Dragon Ball FighterZ, except more based around the kind of Demon Slayer techniques.
It would be cool if it was like a tag team fighting game. Like, you can mix and match characters. Like, oh, I want Tanjiro, Zenitsu, Inosuke. Like, 3v3.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be super.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, the other kind of game I could think of is like a tactical RPG, like Fire Emblem. But the thing is that they all only have like swords, so
except for Genya. We just need to clone Genya a few times so that we have a few long range characters.
Breath of the
I forget his name. I just know that Sugita voices him.
Oh, Gyome.
Yeah, he's using something different than a sword.
Oh, yeah, the ball and chain.
Yeah, so he could be there.
But yeah, I mean, we should probably wrap up here. Any final thoughts on the chapter?
Loved it. I will read it once more before the next chapter drops. And, yeah, Tanjiro yeeted a fucking sword at Muzan.
I'm gonna love that forever. Just, I mean, my final thoughts are just I. This is what I read weekly for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I haven't seen many manga do what this is doing right now. Which is normally it's like, okay, I'll just binge a few chapters in, you know, a few weeks, and it'll be fine. But like with Demon Slayer, it's like I need to now. I need to chat. Is it Sunday yet? Is it Sunday yet? The only reason why I didn't get around to it till basically Monday was because of Anime NYC. But if it were a normal weekend, when that notif hits, I'm ready.
Yeah.
So I think that's just something unique to the weekly read experience, which is just this idea of like I have no idea what's gonna happen next.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who's kind of like started to slowly kind of stray away from like reading manga weekly, mainly because of like lack of time, Demon Slayer is still one of the few series that I will read immediately when it comes out. Like, the only other series I really do that with is like Act Age, and I used to do that with like Kinomaru Sumo. And it's just because like it's so good, and like you really don't know what's gonna happen next, and it's just constantly engaging and just intense. And I think this chapter especially just encapsulates all of that. So I'm just thoroughly happy with it, and I am looking forward to seeing where the series is going to go from here.
Completely agree.
Same.
So, we should probably plug our stuff and get out of here. So, Marion, where can the good people find you?
They could find me on Twitter at microwavy, the E before the V. I've been collecting the Shonen Jump podcast Infinity Stones recently. I recorded on Monday for Haikyuu Pod. Yesterday, I was invited for Kicking Stones, a Dr. Stone podcast by my friend James. and we talked about the Dr. Stone panel at Anime NYC. That was really fun. The episode's already out on their Twitter. It's like at Dr. Stone Pod on Twitter. And I'm also on the Good Friends Anime Club at Good Friends Cast on Twitter. It's like my first podcast with me and three other folks that we all got to meet like together all in the same place for the first time at Anime NYC. But we've been friends since like 2011, 2010. So it was just like such an amazing experience. You could check us out there. I had so much fun this weekend, and I'm all podcast tuckered out, I guess. Like, there's so much shit to talk about.
Well, awesome. And Sakaki, where can people find you?
You can find me at Kirobon. That's KIIROBON. But my real name claim to fame is at WSS Talkback, where I talk about Shonen Sunday. And apparently I'm getting a lot of crossover because the Shonen Jump app followed me.
Nice.
so that's something. And I mean, I've rebranded recently where now I'm also part of the Manga News Group, which is Young Manga Magazine, and Manga Mogura and I have started a group where we strictly bring manga news that's well translated and well documented. So if you see that name in the profile, you know that the manga news you're getting is the best you're gonna get, basically. So now I'm happy to say that I'm part of this group. So we're hoping to expand and get even more people that are just passionate about manga. And I mean, while we're trying to mostly not do Jump, we're not opposed to Jump. We just feel like there should be more focus on manga that isn't from Jump.
Yeah, like someone's going to do Jump eventually. But you guys are tackling other magazines that have plenty of good content, but like probably don't have enough people like shouting them out. Basically.
Yeah, like I can't really think of anyone who covers as much of Shonen Sunday as you do. Like the work that you do is just like fantastic, and everyone should follow Sakaki and the Weekly Shonen Sunday Twitter because they are 100% worth checking out.
Thank you.
Yeah, and as for myself, you can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ. I usually talk about whatever I'm up to, whether it's not sleeping or trying to read and review manga. So yeah, if you're interested in either of those, I have a feeling that more people are going to be interested in the latter. But either way, definitely check out my Twitter then. As far as my manga reviews go, those are mostly over on all-comic.com. We're doing a bunch of different awesome reviews from a bunch of different publishers. So there's probably some series that we're covering over there that you're going to love hearing about, and maybe some series that you might get interested in reading. As for my other stuff, you can find my more Toonami-focused reviews and articles over on ToonamiFaithful.com. So if you're into Toonami, of course, go check those out. As for the podcast itself, you can find that on Twitter at DSlayerPodcast. We post updates about the podcast there, and then occasionally a little bit of a Demon Slayer news as well. So definitely go follow that if you want to keep up with the podcast. As far as where the podcast is hosted, it's on a wide variety of podcast platforms. Anchor is our main platform, but we're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. We're probably at like any place that you're listening to podcasts at this point. So definitely go listen to it on your preferred podcast platform. We're also on Facebook as well at facebook.com/ Demon Slayer Podcast. That's usually just a repeat of the Twitter feed, but if you're more of a Facebook user than a Twitter user, definitely go like that page as well to keep track of the various ongoings of the podcast. And we also have our own dedicated webpage on ToonamiFaithful.com. It's ToonamiFaithful.com/Demon Slayer Podcast. So we're still kind of working out some kinks there. Right now, we're mainly just posting podcast episodes as they go up there, but we're thinking maybe doing some reviews or articles on there at some point too. So if we do end up doing those at some point, keep a lookout for them on there. And nice. Yeah, that about does it for this week. So we will see you guys later.